This is Father David Celery with this week's focus, Transfigurations. Dear friends, well, this is more like it. Brilliant lights and shining garments and even a voice from the clouds. Moses and Elijah on hand. This is what the coming of the Messiah was meant to be. So no wonder Peter's ready to set up shop right on the top of the mountain. He wants to get the tents up there and start the kingdom right now. But poor practical Peter. What else is he to think? In the face of the divine, well, his reaction, it's so human. Jesus has come to redeem the world and build God's heavenly kingdom, and all Peter can think about are the trappings of an earthly kingdom. You see, Jesus is operating on a completely different, infinitely elevated plane, while Peter's bound by the limits of his expectations, his experience, his senses. And once again, Peter's our everyman. He stands in for us in our trivial human frailty before the face of God. How like us he is. How would we behave before the transfigured glory of Jesus? You see, it's not a hypothetical question. In our final hour, it's a certainty that awaits all of us. Surely we'll be in awe. We may even be euphoric. We may be frightened. I think we'll probably be a bit of both. But one thing we won't be is confused. You see, after a lifetime of Christian instruction and worship, we'll finally fully understand the message. And by the grace of God, we'll know the answers. All will be made plain. You see, we'll see the very face of God. And since that rendezvous is certain, let's take the little time we have here to get ready for it. You see, better to meet an intimate friend than confront a neglected stranger. While Peter's in his prime, firsthand witness to the wonders of Jesus, even for him, the good news is just beginning to unravel. Where's it all going? Where will it end? And then Jesus, well, he spoils the party. He tells Peter, James, and John to keep what they saw a secret until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. If you think you were confused before, one wonders what's all this about. You see, after witnessing Christ's glorious transfiguration, they get hit with the message that he's facing death. And once again, you and I have the advantage of perspective. You see, we've been steeped in Scripture. We know that Jesus will climb yet again another mountain, and this time he'll carry a cross. Over and over, we've learned of the sacrificial death and glorious resurrection of Jesus. We know that he's the love of God made flesh, here to take us home to the Father. But of what have we done with that good news? Is it filed away somewhere for a deathbed referral? Or do we live it? Does it shape our choices? Does it guide our decisions each and every day? In other words, are the life, death, and resurrection of Christ concrete, immediate imperatives that impact our lives? Or are they fabled abstractions, dusted off and taken out to lend texture to traditional holiday celebrations? My friends, this is the challenge of the Transfiguration, to live transfigured lives right here, right now, with and in the love of Christ. In this gospel, Jesus gives a preview of coming attractions, both for the apostles and for us. It's a brief peek into the awesome power he commanded, a power that he was prepared to set aside and sacrifice for the likes of you and me. He who stood clothed in brilliant light in the company of Moses and Elijah would soon lay himself down, beaten, naked, and alone for our salvation. In the words of the Father, listen to him. In Jesus, you and I are saved. We're transfigured. Follow him with glory. God loves you no less than Moses or Elijah. He values you and me as disciples, no less than Peter, James, and John. Make loving, praising, and thanking him the focal point of your day, and you'll be transfigured too. This has been Father David Celery with this week's Focus. To learn more, visit me at davidcelery.org or follow me on Facebook, iTunes, or Twitter. God love you.